I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday was the Davante Adams trade that you've been talking about since training camp, and how pissed off he was there after Derek Carr left, and then the whole receiver documentary, and you could just see it, and Aaron Rodgers and the wide receivers here. And even yesterday, it just before, when we're talking about this, before the trade goes down, it seems like the complaining about Mike Williams and the Davante Adams being here are linked. And Peter Schrager tweeted out, Mike Williams is very much on the trade block, so I don't think they're going to cut him. They'll probably trade him. But Aaron Rodgers clearly done with that guy. And when you bring in Davante Adams, then you just got too many people in the room anyway. So how much does it help is the question. It definitely helps. I mean, this guy is one of the better receivers we have seen in the league in the last decade. Those two guys certainly have chemistry together, but you know, one thing I'll say is that all the blame and all the glory, no matter where this season goes, has to fall right at the feet of Aaron Rodgers, because he is in more control than ever. And he could sit there and tell you that Pat McAfee that it's funny the amount of control that people think that I have. Okay, within a week and a half, the guy that you didn't respect and like as a head coach is gone a day after you talked to the owner on the phone. And now popping up behind you is Davante Adams after you trash your wide receiver after yet another loss. Here's Davante Adams in the Zoom call. Sorry, it's all on you. So now I didn't think it was possible to have more pressure on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Now there's more pressure on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets because they're throwing everything into this season and giving Aaron everything he wants. So you better turn this thing around.
And by the way, at the owners meeting, Woody Johnson was asked about this. He thinks he's got a great team. And he has openly said that this is the best team I've had since I've been an owner. So everything that, you know, that Woody has said over the last, you know, when he is talking about his team, tells you that, you know, he believes that this team will turn it around. And I say, I just hope that it's not too late. You know, I knew this trade was coming. I thought it was going to be earlier. I was hoping for it to be earlier. Now you got to put him in the middle of all of this. Hopefully Garrett Wilson will, you know, embrace this. Watch how he runs routes. Watch how they do what they do together. I don't think this really has anything to do with what happened with Mike Williams, you know, on Monday night. I think this thing's been in the works for a while. I've been telling you. It's just a matter of when the Raiders were ready to pull the trigger on this trade. And, you know, and of course, I think when you listen to Antonio Pierce talking about business decisions and you talk about different things that were going on with the Raiders, just a matter of time before this was going to go down.
Well, I just think, right, just a matter of time. But I think that it was accelerated by the fact that they lost three games in a row. The offense has stunk. And you have your quarterback talking about guys running the wrong routes and not on the same page. I mean, it might have happened anyway, but it just felt like it was accelerated with all those facts.
Yeah, I mean, but this is what, if you're going to go all in with a 40-year-old quarterback who's really trying to come back from a major injury, and you want to give him the best situation around him that he feels comfortable with, then you're going to try to surround him with the players that he wants. And this is a Hall of Fame wide receiver. This is a guy who's got a lot left in the tank. This is not somebody that, you know, they're just plucking off the street. I mean, this is a guy that the two of them together were the most explosive duo in the league. And you got to hope that they can recreate that in this last 11 weeks here. And I do think that he now all of a sudden changes the way defenses are going to play them. That's the other aspect that's going to happen here, which now may give other guys like Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and, you know, I don't know if they'll keep Mike Williams or, you know, what they're going to do. Alan Lazard, I mean, Ty Conklin. There's going to be a lot of guys that are going to have a lot of opportunities unless he forces the ball to Davante Adams.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
New head coach, new play caller, same results, BT, as the Jets yet again, almost as predictable as the clock. The Jets lose again at home, Monday Night Football. Another terrible, disappointing performance from your Jets.
Listen, I hate this team, and I officially hate football. I honestly loathe and detest, and I abhor football. I hate it. So, you know what's funny about this, too? Usually, after to pick one, pick anyone, after all these Jet losses, right? I felt a little bit better about the loss because I had a target to pound. And that was Robert Saleh. Yeah. Nothing personal, but it was easy to just take the loss and then rechannel, like redirect it, and feel, I know it sounds crazy, feel a little bit better about it. All right, I aired out the grievances, the head coach stinks, and like it got me, I guess, through whatever I had to get through. You know who I'm blaming today? How about the players wake up and actually start doing their freaking job? Breece Hall, all right? Hey, Breece, you tap dancing or are you playing football? Lower your pants. We just watched that play again. You watched it. I was watching with a half on my laptop. He got the ball in midfield. The seam opens at the 40. Guy runs 23 miles an hour, right? First of all, he should have won the race. He didn't. And instead of tap dancing, right, like Fred Astaire, put your pads down and run through somebody's chest. Number one, Mike Williams sucks. Honestly, Mike Williams stinks. I thought Mike Williams fantasy, Mike Williams Chargers. He's terrible. I mean, I know he's coming off an ACL. He's not very good. I don't even think he knows the playbook, right? Garrett Wilson, he's a stud. Catch the ball in the end zone. You want to be one of the star wide receivers in the NFL, Ja'Marr Chase, and all the other superstars. I know you got hit. I know that was a pop from the front and the back. I get it. I would drop the ball. I'm not an NFL wide receiver. Catch the ball. Ruckert, catch the ball. I could just bash everybody. Can somebody explain to me why Ashton Davis, I think Ashton Davis has been here for 10 years, and every time I see number 21, I'm like, this kid stinks. Why is he on the team? They don't tackle, and from the outset of this game, Sal,
I want to hear it.
It was so apparent that the Buffalo Bills wanted it more. And it's tricky to identify that as a non-player or as a non-coach. But you guys watched the game with us going back and forth between the Yankees. I'll tell you how I did the juggle later. I want to hear how you did it as well. Nice job by you, Mets. I'm watching this, right? I'm saying the first series, Buffalo's just, they're destroying the Jets. They're running through them like it's one of those little padded, tackle dummies in training camp. Like the Jets weren't even there. And then still, the big badass Jets defense, which you always say is overrated. They had a couple timeouts. They had Allen pinch back. And the first play, they give up 5.5 yards. Set the tone. They get a couple on the next one. They finally got a stop. And then Josh Allen ran for a first down. And it's lights out. Now, I don't know, and right now I don't even care, if it's lights out for the Jets season. Like, whatever. Beat Steelers, the Patriots, whatever. All I know is this team is, I hate them. I can't say it anymore. I honestly hate the New York Jets. And last night, and I've never thought this, I've kind of thought it, but I really thought it last night. I said to myself, I mean this in all sincerity, I don't know why I made my poor son a Jets fan. You know, we watched the whole game. He stayed up and watched the whole Yankees and Jets, right? Mommy let him. Nah, didn't have much of a choice. He stayed up no matter what. I don't care about school today. He's watching the Jets. Deal with it. And he goes up, and he was broken. Like, he thought 10 different times the Jets were going to win that game, as did I. They should have won the game. The crowd was revved up. And once again, the incompetent, soft loser Jets show up at the most inopportune time. I'm used to it. I'm not desensitized to it yet, as you can tell by my emotions, but I feel today the season's over.
Do you think you're more upset because you believed in this team and had hope, and they let you down yet again?
There's no doubt. They're, like, that absolutely ties into it. I mean, it's been most of the years during this run of, what, 14 years, no playoffs, 13, whatever it is, longest run in North American team sports without a playoffs. Most of the years, you're like, all right, maybe if this happens, maybe if that happens, maybe if Donald progresses, maybe if Zach gets better. Like, maybe you hang around and maybe you get into the last month of the season with a chance to have a chance to be a wild card, maybe. No, this is different.
Yeah, because with other teams, I feel like you would be, and I'm not smarter, because I'm not trying to be disrespectful in that way, but with the Jets, there's something there with you that is, you're beyond the unkillable stuff, and you want to believe so much that I think sometimes it does get in the way at least a little bit, like my cataracts that I can't see. Like, you have like cataracts with the Jets to where you can't see the reality is that this team is a dysfunctional mess. And if it's not one thing, it's the next thing. And while Aaron Rodgers is certainly better than anything we've seen in years as far as the quarterback goes, there's still a long ways to go. Now, you could say that there was a bullcrap holding call on Smith. I don't know how you have holding from the 3-yard line or whatever it is. Think about that.
I know.
Have time to hold. Yeah. It's a run play from the 3-yard line, whatever it is. You're telling me there's going to be a holding call on that? Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous, but that's just one thing. I mean, and then people could say, well, the missed field goals. Yeah, sure, but also the Hail Mary. Like, the Hail Mary, and I know Rodgers has done that before, but that's a fluke thing.
Yes.
The biggest thing for me was that the Jets drove the football, start the game, field goal, okay, all right, whatever, you take it. The damn defense. The defense is supposed to be the strength of this team, and yet they get run right over. And we talk about the Bills and not being the same. They don't have Stephon Diggs. They don't need him because you don't make him throw the football because you can't stop the run. If it's not one thing, it's another. Not to mention the 10 billion flags that were thrown during that disgraceful performance last night from both teams. But the one thing that we kept talking about and heard about, okay, Robert Saleh, maybe his biggest weakness as a head coach, and he had a lot of them, lack of accountability. Was there any accountability? Was there any change in watching a Jeff Obrick-led Jets team last night versus a Robert Saleh-led Jets team? If anything, it looked even worse. I mean, my God, BT, it's the same stuff with this team, and it's not going to change until they fix the foundation properly.
They are legend killers. I told you, like when Piper ended the legend of Jimmy Snuka with the coconut, the Jets end the legend of quarterbacks. They did it to Brett Favre. They're doing it to Rodgers right now. Do you realize, and this is what makes it so much tougher, like if you told me either the day that they got him or at the start of training camp this year or the day before week one this year, hey, early in the season, all right, halfway into October, in three straight games, Aaron Rodgers is going to have the football with a chance to win the game for the Jets. And I would say, by the way, I got my green stick.
Green.
Kick the shoes up. We're good. We're at least 2-1, probably 3-0, 0-3.
And I'll be honest with you. Last night, you know, I picked the Bills, and I just, there was something. The time I got sucked into the Jets was the Viking game. I'm like, this will be the spot where, coming off that brutal Denver loss, nobody's really expecting it. It's a 5-0, whatever, Viking team at the time. Maybe the Jets will show up. And then they get behind way too early. They come back. And again, just another frustrating performance in a game that they could have won but didn't. It was at that point that I said, I cannot back this team blindly anymore. But even with that being said, that game was there for the taking 19 freaking times over.
Yep.
And right down to that drive, I'm saying, all right, this is where Rodgers is going to, they'll drive. They're not going to rely on the kicker here. Mm-hmm. They're going to drive the field because Buffalo defense hasn't been great. The Jets have been moving the football on them. This will be it. And then the intercept, like, I mean, it's just, it's one thing, it's another thing, it's the next thing. It's always something with this damn team. They can't help themselves, even with the greatness of Aaron Rodgers.
Sal, we could sit here for 20 more years, Lord willing, and if Woody Johnson still owns the team.
Uh-oh.
All right.
What happened? Accident? What?
No accident.
What happened?
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport reports Jets are working on a trade to get Devontae Adams.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what my reaction is? Too late. I honestly don't even care. And I know it's not too late, but it feels too late. Great. They'll get him, and, you know, he'll make plays, yeah. I guess, and they'll lose by a point.
He's not going to solve anything.
What are we doing here?
I hate this
game.
He'll make the quarterback happier, and he's not going to rip. And by the way, I know we want to get into that and play that cut that we heard with Jerry. Yeah, this is so predictable. Yeah. It's so predictable. You wake up today, you get the Reddick news, which we're going to get to later on anyway. But you hear the Reddick news. Okay, now his agents are requesting a trade or whatever. The Jets said that they gave him permission. Yeah, gave him permission to trade. Fine. What do you think's going to happen then? You know what's going to happen. They're going to go try to get Devontae Adams. Like, that's going to solve everything. You're 2-4. You're a dysfunctional mess. A wide receiver past his prime, even though he's Aaron Rodgers' best buddy or whatever, is not going to fix it. I'm sorry, it's not.
By the way, thank you, Huff. It's actually, the wording is completing a trade. So not, you know, it's basically not working.
They're completing a trade for star Devontae Adams.
Do we know any of the pieces? Is Reddick involved? Is Mike Williams? And I don't even, like, I'm getting sucked. I don't even care. It's a week too late. He should have been out there last night.
I want to help you
today. See, this is what I mean about the Jets. Everybody knew that he was going to get traded. And now, the game that defines their whole season, I know that they could recover 2-4. I'm not banking on it. I know that they could. But last night was the night for Devontae Adams to be in green and white. And now you're going to get 2-4. All right, so he'll play against the Steelers, win, lose, whatever. Like, it's just, they're so ass backwards, the Jets. Everything that they do is ass backwards. And I started to say this before, Hoff. Thank you for that, Hoff, about the news. Even though I don't really care, I'm not moved by it that much because I'm still pissed off at this. And I don't think it changes. We could be sitting here 20 years from now, God willing, and if Woody Johnson, hopefully he's still alive and healthy, if Woody still owns the team, it's going to be the same song and dance. The Jets' ownership is awful. That's it. There's nothing else to interpret. It's not about the wrong draft choice at quarterback or the wrong OC or the wrong head coach or the wrong this or the wrong stadium or the wrong turf. It's the wrong owner. That's the problem.
And if I were to ask you why all of a sudden we wake up this morning after what we saw last night, why the Jets got or trying to get Devontae Adams now or whatever, completing a trade, why do you think?
I'm going to tell you why. Yeah. Because, and I believe we have the cut, if we can play this, let me just set it up here. Mike Williams ran the wrong route, and Aaron Rodgers basically took the Aaron Rodgers bus and just drove right over him. Let's get a listen to this. Now, it's a little like concept stuff, so it's a little, you got to really pay attention, but there's no doubt he just buried his receiver.
I'm looking at Allen. He puts his hand up. Three guys go with him, so I'm throwing a no-look to the red line. And when I just peek my eyes back there, he's running a in-breaker. So it's got to be down the red line.
So were you throwing that spike to come back to it?
No, I was throwing it to the red line, but when I got to about here, I realized he was running an in-breaker, so I had to kind of adjust it a little bit. But the play is two guys vertical, one guy down the seam, one guy on the red line.
Okay. Two vert, one seam,
red line.
Bottom line is, I threw where I was supposed to throw it, and my wide receiver left me hanging. He ran the wrong route. Get rid of him.
But for me, it's the owner.
I think the owner
who said he fires Robert Saleh.
I can't even look at this Jets helmet.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Let me give you the play. But all that stupid thing. Yeah, just don't throw it in my direction.
The owner
fires the head coach and says that I expect the wins to start happening like now. They lose at home Monday Night Football, another embarrassing primetime performance. And then he wakes up this morning, and whether it's a conversation with his quarterback or just him saying, we need to go get Devontae Adams. And he thinks that that's going to be the difference when it is, in fact, not going to be the difference.
Sal,
he just doesn't get it.
It doesn't end, man. It's funny, and I know I've said this a few times, but we all love him. And I'm sure Joe will be on with Evan and Tiki later, so you have a little share of Joe later. As much as I love Joe, and I played golf with Joe, I really love Joe as a human. He's a great guy. And I listen to him like everybody else. For years, as much as I love him, I'd say, damn, this guy is just so damn negative. He's right. All these years, Joe's the smart one in the room.
He's right. I want to be here for you today as your partner. I want to be able to help you get through this. Because, like I said, I've been able to see through this. I don't have that attachment that you do to this team, believing in your team. I respect that belief. And I do think that there was some reason to finally believe.
Well, like, it was rooted in a pretty talented roster. I mean, it's not like I'm sitting there with, you know, four turnstiles on the O-line and, you know, Tim Boyle's still trying to throw it and Jeremy Curley is the number one receiver.
Right, I get it. There was
some talent. They still do.
There was some talent, but there was a lot of hope sprinkled in there.
Well.
And now a 2-4, again, like...
Go ahead, finish.
I'm serious. I want to help you.
Are you serious?
Yes. Okay. I'm serious. Right, I want to help you understand.
I'm beyond help. I'm beyond help. You can't help me. Nobody can help me. Nobody can help us. And who's going to help us?
The first step,
where's the help come from?
The first step is acknowledgement. So once you acknowledge
I hate them. Right. There's the acknowledgement.
But once you acknowledge
the worst, then what is the worst order of football? Acknowledgement number three.
Right. And what else do you need? Acknowledge that the foundation is broken.
Oh, yeah. Foundation's never broken. It's never built.
There's not going to be a Super Bowl. Can you get that?
That I refuse to say. I
didn't say divisional playoffs yet. I was going to get there. Hey,
we're playing until January. Yeah, no kidding, idiot. The Super Bowl's in February, you dope. Oh, listen, what do you want me to say? Right. I know Jet fans are riled up. That is crazy with the Davante Adams. What's up there?
Can I ask a question? Because I'm being serious here.
Yeah.
You know, you fire Saleh, who, if they don't make the playoffs somehow this year, Douglas is probably gone.
Let's end the probably. Gone.
By the way, do we even know Joe Douglas wants to be back?
Do we want him back is the question. But here's a real... Is Rodgers going to be here at the end of the year?
I have no idea. I really don't
know. What are we doing here?
That's a great question, and it's probably one that we're going to have to attack with vigor if this thing keeps going the wrong way, which, spoiler alert, probably will. But now that Adams is coming here, do I think that maybe incentivizes Rodgers? Because I would imagine it's going to be a restructure with Adams, a year tacked on. We got to get the additional contract, which he's not coming here. He's going to get another year, I promise you, and a few more bucks. And I think because of that, Rodgers will probably, will definitely want to play with his buddy. But at that point, what's it mean? He's 41 next year.
I got something on the details, by the way.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so Schefter puts out it will be for a conditional third-round pick that can go to a second-round pick.
So it's done?
Based on production. Okay.
Expected to get finalized today.
Okay, and any no update on like when he's going to be here, when he'll play? You would expect he might be able to play Sunday night,
I think the hamstring was kind of you keep me off the field. Oh, yeah, I mean, you get him in the building tomorrow, tonight, he's definitely going to play Sunday. But
I'm seeing some regeneration in you.
Listen, dude, come on. You've known me long enough. By the time Sunday rolls around, now everything I said, I stand by.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to deviate from that. They got pushed around last night. You know, they were soft.
They did run Breece the football Hall, a little bit better.
I know they did. I thought that they would. But Breece Hall not lowering his pads at the three when he had a 35-yard head start. It's unacceptable. And all the other things I hit, I don't need to be repetitive. By the time Sunday comes around, because I'll be riding high on my Yankees, feeling extra good as we get ready to dust those chumps maybe in 4 or 5. I will be feeling really giddy on Sunday night. So, by the time they kick off on Sunday, I'm sure your partner's going to be a little bit better than right now. But right now is actually the real emotion. The Sunday emotion's going to be a fake one.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. We'll work in your calls. 888-808-1019. So not only the Jets losing on Monday Night Football, but the breaking news, they're getting Davante Adams. Hey! Super Bowl, baby! Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
He has done nothing so far for the New York Jets. The second part of it's a little bit more complicated. Aaron Rodgers has to be who he is. Mm-hmm. So I don't think because he comes to New York and he hasn't won anything here and he hasn't done anything here, he has to become a meek, different personality.
Right.
At the end of the day, he still needs to be Aaron Rodgers.
He is going to be, and he's going to hold himself and his teammates accountable. We saw this with Christian Watson 2-3 years ago when he was a rookie out there in Green Bay. He basically threw the same thing. It was exactly the same thing that you heard about Mike Williams. Now, Christian Watson's a rookie, so it's kind of motivating for a rookie. It's different when it's a veteran who had a lot of success, mostly in with the Chargers, but a lot of success has been pretty good for you already this year. And maybe being exhausted or just, I don't know, a little bit mind numb at the end of that game made a little bad choice on his route. He didn't get it outside the numbers. He was running on the numbers, and it forced Aaron Rodgers to make a bet. I don't know, but he called him out, and then he gets replaced the next day?
Yeah.
It's just, Now, apparently, they're not related, by the way.
No, I think they're going after Davante Adams no matter what.
Apparently, Davante Adams was on a plane while the game was going on. And so, that was happening before Mike Williams made whatever the egregious mistake it was that Aaron Rodgers felt the need to call him out on. But that's just Aaron. You're right about that. If you make a mistake, he's going to call you out.
And he shouldn't be different just because he hasn't done anything yet for Joe Beningo and myself. You know what I mean? Like, he has to be who he is. But I listened to Aaron Rodgers after the game last night. And for those that missed it, here is where he decided to end Mike Williams' New York Jets career. Because essentially he did. And then he ran him over with this big tractor. I smile about it only because it's so ridiculous. I present to you the quarterback of the New York Jets, mercenary number 7, Aaron Rodgers.
Two verticals, you know. Allen's down the seam, Mike's down the red line. So I'm looking at Allen. He puts his hand up, three guys go with him. So I'm throwing a no look to the red line. And when I just peek my eyes back there, he's running a inbreaker. So it's got to be down the red line.
So were you throwing that back to it?
No, I was throwing it to the red line, but when I got to about here, I realized he was running an inbreaker, so I had to kind of adjust it a little bit. But the play is two guys vertical, one guy down the seam, one guy on the red line.
Now, to be honest with you, I don't understand 80% of what he said.
Right, but if you do want to know, Dan Orlovsky did a great job on his Twitter account explaining what this all means and why you have to do it that way. Basically, the guy running down the seam takes three defenders and puts stress on the guy who potentially is going to cover Mike Williams, the guy who intercepted the ball, right? So because the separation wasn't correct, therefore he was able to get back and make a play on that ball. So that's why Aaron was mad about it. But it also sounds like an excuse.
Well, it's also a decision that you make in a post-game press conference to let us know, hey, it was his fault.
Right.
Because he didn't have to do that.
Right. But here's my takeaway after I heard his explanation. Forget the... And I didn't hear it till this morning, but forget what happened in the play. Once he started making that explanation, he knew it was wrong. He saw Mike Williams not on the red line, and he decided to throw it anyways. Why not check it down? If it's not perfect, just check it down. There's nobody on Breece Hall in the flat. Nobody. The closest defender is 10 yards away. Maybe he rallies and makes a tackle. Maybe he doesn't. Who knows? But check it down. You got more downs to go.
Right. Because you're on a 3rd and 16. Make this thing a 4th and reasonable.
Yes.
I think the other thing Aaron Rodgers was pissed off about, even if he didn't say it, but I certainly remember it, is on the previous drive where Greg Zuerlein missed the 43-yard field goal. Mike Williams had a drop on that drive.
Mm-hmm.
It was right after the holding penalty on Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yep.
And Mike Williams hasn't been the worst yet. Like, he's great on these 50-50 balls. And I think early on, I certainly had this impression of, wow, this is going to work out. He actually feels like a good fit in this offense, but clearly Aaron Rodgers disagrees. And I think that it's just a numbers game. With Davante Adams being here, with Alan Lazard being opened up now that he's playing with Aaron Rodgers as compared to the monstrosity that was a year ago, to go along with Garrett Wilson, there just isn't going to be a role for Mike Williams.
Right.
So I think Aaron Rodgers publicly telling us, because we wouldn't have known. Like, the only way I would have known, and most of us would have known, that Mike Williams ran the wrong route is when we came on the air and I said to Tiki, open up that little device you have and tell me what the hell happened on 4th and 16. And you may have been the one to say, all right, here's what happened.
Right. Spacing was wrong. He had a bad throw because it wasn't what he expected. He still should have taken the check down, but that's what happened.
So is that a bad thing for the quarterback to basically come out?
Even if
the guy's not going to be around anymore.
Honestly,
to do that?
It's not, because that's what Aaron does. He'll answer the question if you ask him. Tell me what happened on that last play. Well, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Most of you aren't going to understand it, but I'm going to tell you what happened. And that's what he does. He's always been that way. You can't expect him to be different. And so if you have a thin skin, you need not apply. That's basically what it comes down to when you play with Aaron Rodgers. You got to be able to take the criticism. Otherwise, he's not going to trust you, believe in you, or care about you.
Of course, Mike Williams not showing up to practice yesterday for personal reasons. We know Davante Adams is with the Jets now. We know what Aaron Rodgers said after the loss to the Bills, and he's going to either get traded or released. So that's the last you're going to see of him. It was pretty obvious once Aaron Rodgers said what he said, that he was going to be gone.
And they became even more evident when Davante Adams popped up in the back of that Zoom on the Pat McAfee show. So,
yeah, I'm sure Mike Williams is not happy about any of this, and I don't blame him. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, you got to be careful what you say and how you say it. And I don't want to tell Aaron Rodgers what to do, but it was shocking that he basically said, you got to be on the red line, and he wasn't on the red line, and I threw it there. And I was like, wow, hold on for a sec. You know, and it was interesting because yesterday I was driving back from, you know, playing golf, and I was listening to NFL radios. My buddy Pat Kerwin was on with Jim Miller, and they were just talking about, and Pat was talking about how he knows a number of quarterbacks that have run receivers off because they didn't like who they were, any of that stuff. Yeah, but nobody's ever really done it, you know, publicly. I mean, it's you go in the front office and say, I can't play with this guy. He doesn't know the offense. And normally you may do that like with a rookie. Like I could see, let's say, Aaron Rodgers was playing with Kadarius Toney, or Patrick Mahomes was playing with Kadarius Toney, and maybe he didn't know what he was doing, or he was dropping the ball, and you felt like he was a flake on the practice field. Maybe you then go into the coach and say, hey, look, man, I don't trust this guy. I don't want to play with him, and you got to get this guy out of here. I totally get, and I would imagine that Peyton Manning has done that, and Tom Brady has done that, and, you know, according to Pat Kerwin, a number of other players have done that, and I totally understand all that, but to do it the way that Aaron did it publicly, and then the way that, you know, again, you got to remember, we're going to react to it as a media entity. We're going to react to it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to bring it out, and we're going to say, I can't believe this happened. And then the media is going to take it and run with it. And then you got to remember, Mike Williams has got a family. He's got an agent. He's got friends. He's got people he's played with. And this isn't some fly-by-night rookie. This is a 30-year-old established wide receiver in the NFL who's had some really great moments.
Yeah.
And there's a respect factor that is afforded to a guy that is coming off of a knee injury. Like, you have to take all of that into account.
Well, Aaron Rodgers did not. Well, and then he doubled down on McAfee, too. He didn't even say, hey, I shouldn't have said that about Mike.
And it's great to see Davante and Aaron Rodgers back together. And I wanted to see it back in August and thought maybe September. And now all of a sudden here we are with 11 weeks to go in their season. And, you know, it's go time now all of a sudden as we were having fun with this yesterday. I lauded the Jets for going after Aaron and getting him here in the first place. It feels like he's been here for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he's only played 6 games.
So when Mike Williams gets traded or cut, Davante Adams is here. Alan Lazard is here. Randall Cobb was here. All this stuff. Rob Saleh, who he didn't respect and didn't like, got fired. But we're to believe that he had nothing to do with that. Like, okay, stop it.
I don't know if he did or he didn't like him. I don't know. I have no idea internally where the pressure was coming from. You know, Woody Johnson and Christopher Johnson are in there every day. They're the ones that are hearing what's happening behind the scenes, and they reacted to what they thought was the right thing to do, whether Bill Belichick likes it or not. I mean, he is the owner, and he has the right to make a decision to try to save the season. And, you know, to relieve some of the pressure and maybe kind of redirect the team in a certain way, I think is what Woody's intentions are here, and to hopefully get the best out of him. But, you know, I think that was a major mistake, what Aaron did publicly. I really do. I mean, because now if you're covering this team, like you're Rich Cimini, you're Mark Canizzaro, you can now go up to Aaron Rodgers and ask him about any specific play and about what happened on that play. And is Aaron going to be pointing out everybody else? Aaron has taken responsibility that he hasn't played well. I've heard all that, and then I heard him say that to Pat McAfee. But that doesn't excuse throwing a teammate out there under the bus like the way he did to Mike Williams.
We are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Baldy, let's start with the breaking news. What does Davante Adams do for this Jets football team?
Well, I mean, 3 years ago when Davante and Aaron Rodgers were together in Green Bay, they were a good combination, but it's 3 years. And so can they still have that same level of trust and combination that they once had. Both are older. Both are slower than they were 3 years ago. And it's a different offense. So I'm sure Aaron could get them up to speed somewhat, but we've seen so much miscommunication, including that final interception last night between receivers and quarterback, that is that going to take place going forward against, like, say, this week against Pittsburgh? Because it's you know, they've had chances to win all these games in the last three losses to Denver, to Minnesota, and last night, yet they can't make any plays at the end of the game to win the play. So maybe Devontae's that guy. Maybe he's that guy that's going to make that play to put him over the top in these close games that they keep losing.
I mean, they are 2-4. Do you really truly think they should be a lot better than that?
I think they should have beaten Denver, and they certainly had chances to win that game last night. You know, the penalties and some of the things that, you know, they're guilty of, red zone deficiencies, being able to run the ball when you got to be able to run the ball, those kind of things keep showing up. And so you go, should they have won the, you know, are they that much better? No, they're not that much better than these teams that they're playing, but there's only a couple of elite teams in this league. Everybody is capable of losing games, and that's what Aaron said after the game. He felt like they lost that game, you know, that they should have scored in the 30s, and they probably should have scored in the 30s. But the same mistakes that, you know, that they have been making all year long keep showing up at key moments of the game.
Mm-hmm. A lack of discipline aside, just, you know, because the Dolphins are in a different spot and the Pats are obviously rebuilding, you know, 1 through 53, Jets, Bills roster, advantage who?
Well, I would say the Bills. I'd say the Bills because their offense line is much better than the Jets. And that's where it all starts. And their quarterback is much better. So I would say the Bills, because of the line, who have started all five starters, all five games, all six games now. And they're very, very well coached on that group. So they ran the ball with the rookie running back last night really well, especially that opening drive of the game. But I would say because of the line and the quarterback and just the system of defense that they play, where, you know, they just know exactly where they're supposed to be. They just don't break down. And even with injuries that they have had, Ed Oliver, Von Miller, whatever, you know, they don't lose that much starting rookie defensive tackles last night. Their system that they play in allows them to play really fast, and they don't make a lot of mistakes.
If you had to pick one thing, Baldy, what's the biggest issue for the Jets?
I would still say it's the offensive line. You know, it's just, you know, the tackles look old. They've had great days in this league at times. And they don't play particularly well together, although they played better last night, and that's encouraging. But I would say that's – and then I would say their inability to take the ball away. You know, I mean, they had a fumble last night. It's bouncing on the ground. They don't get it. They don't get their hands on footballs.
No.
Sauce Gardner was invisible last night.
Yep.
You know, they just don't. They don't do the things that great defenses do. I mean, yes, Josh Allen has played six games. He hasn't thrown an interception yet, but they don't come close to making a play on the ball in the air.
Yeah, that's what I want to get to, the defense. Because right out of the gate, the Jets have a nice drive last night to start things off. All right, it ends in a field goal, but that happens. And then the defense gets run over. I mean, I've been hearing for years, Baldy, great defense this, great defense that, great defense my ass. That, to me, is their biggest issue because that's supposed to be their bread and butter, and yet you just mentioned it. Where is it?
Well, they got pushed all over the place. I mean, they got guys in there that are starting that are not good players. I don't need to call them out on, you know, the radio here, but I mean, they got players in there starting that are not good players.
Let's hear.
I mean, what does Javon Kinlaw do?
He stinks. I cut
him. Some stupid penalties.
I cut him.
Like, I mean, he's just, there's a reason why San Francisco let him go.
Yep.
I mean, they need an anchor inside. Quinn's still a good player, but they need an anchor inside at that spot. He doesn't anchor anything. He got lifted out of the three technique, out of the one technique. And, you know, it's interesting that the Buffalo started Ty Johnson last night.
Yeah.
You know, he was with the Jets.
I know.
You know,
I know.
And he ran right through him.
So, Baldy, tell us how this works in the locker room here. What is the downstream repercussion of Rodgers calling out Mike Williams? You know, I know you saw it, but for those who don't, he basically said, I threw it to where he was supposed to be, and he didn't do what he was supposed to do. How does that play out?
Well, I mean, that's, yeah, he better, that's a a fractured relationship. You better fix that thing today. You know, otherwise, if that thing just festers and they're not in there today, whatever their day, their schedule is this week after Monday night game, I mean, you better fix that thing right away. Because Mike Williams, I mean, first of all, he's playing with no confidence to begin with. He hit him on a little pop pass over the middle. He looked surprised the ball was coming to him.
Yeah.
So does he know the offense or doesn't he know the offense? I know he missed most of training camp because he was still rehabilitating from a, you know, a torn ACL from a year ago. But they got him out there on the field. I mean, if he's not out, like, look, Alan Lazard is their best receiver right now. At least, you know, touchdowns, you know, catches, yards per catch. I mean, Garrett's had good games the last 2 weeks, but he's thrown it to the guys that he trusts right now. I'm kind of surprised he didn't throw to Lazard at the end of the game because he had his hand up in the air. They're running a simple divide against a high safety. Everybody runs the same route combination. I'm not sure what Mike Williams did wrong, but, you know, Aaron was thrown into a different spot than where he was. And, you know, it's costly, but we've seen mistakes like that against Denver where the receiver's running the wrong route from where he's thrown it. So, yeah. Here's the thing. If your quarterback's got 20 years of experience and he's really smart, and he is, well, all that intelligence and all that knowledge and all that wisdom doesn't do you any good if the receivers don't see it the way you see it. And maybe that's what Devontae will do. Maybe he'll see it the way Aaron sees it. They had a unique connection in Green Bay for a long stretch, and maybe that's a component at the end of these games that they'll make that they haven't been making.
BT and Sal on the fan with Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Can the Jets be fixed, Baldy?
I guess confidence is a thing that, you know, that anybody could ride, but you have to start stacking some wins. And they go on the road here to Pittsburgh. I don't know who's going to block T.J. Watt this week. They better have a good game plan for him. He'll ruin the game like he ruined the game last week with the Raiders. I mean, forcing two fumbles and Cam Hayward. I mean, they got guys that they know that their offense is struggling. So the defense says, you know, we got to win these games, and they're helping them win a lot of games right now. So that's they got to beat Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh, and they get to 2-5. That's an awfully deep crypt to come out of in this with a quarterback that's already hobbling right now. So I would say that this is a must win for them this week. You can't lose your fourth game in a row right now in Pittsburgh against an offense that is, I mean, their offense struggling more than any offense in all of football right now.
Before I let you go, Brian Baldinger, BT and Sal, I mean, you know, we could talk about the erosion of some of the old linemen getting older, whatever, miscommunication, everything that we've basically hit so far. But you've been around the game forever. There's a direct correlation to a good team and a bad team. Do you have good ownership? And the Jets don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it always starts at the top. Everything starts at the top. A lot of these decisions, whether it's the trade for Hassan Reddick that blew up, and now he's, I guess, free to go seek a trade. I mean, you can just kind of check the boxes and all the bad decisions that are being made. I mean, it does start at the top. And so they're all in for whatever that means. And it's a one-year deal for everybody. I mean, everything's going to get blown up if this thing doesn't end up in the playoffs. And that's the only way that this thing can be salvaged if they get to the playoffs.
Baldy, let's talk some Giants here. A huge game for them coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock, MetLife Stadium taking on the Eagles. Giants 0-2 in the division, record 2-4. Overall, though, I'm seeing some good things and some foundational pieces being put together here. I'm seeing it that the quarterback is the biggest problem. You watch the film. What are you seeing for why the Giants are 2-4?
The quarterback's the biggest problem. I mean, it just is. I mean, you can't be any more clear about it than that. The defense played awesome last week. I mean, that's a 7-0 game in the third quarter against Joe Burrow, who put up 38 the week before and 35 the week before that. And Brian Burns and Ojulari and Dexter, like, they can't play a whole lot better than what they just played. The quarterback, he's just, I don't even know what he's looking at sometimes. Like, you roll right protection. Everything is protected. You got Slayton in the 7-hole. That's the throw. And he's not making the throw. Like, there's just things that I don't know what he's reading. I mean, I don't know what he's being There's not that much to read, honestly. It's really that simple. And he's holding the ball, and he's frozen. And your quarterback has to make these plays. There's no reason why they should have been shut out in that, you know, and score one touchdown that whole game, and probably don't even score if you don't get that defensive pass interference penalty where they get the ball at the 1 yard line. The quarterback has to play better. And you just wonder how much longer. Like, he played well the week before against Seattle. Maybe if Neighbors comes back, that'll help.
He did.
But you can't win games by hiding your quarterback.
Yeah.
I almost feel like they're doing everything they can to hide him right now, but you're not going to win any games doing it.
Well, do you see enough on film, you know, concept-wise, you know, when, and I think it's going to be this year or this offseason, when Dable finally gets his quarterback, that this offense looks like it's going to be really impressive and interesting?
I don't know if it's going to be, you know, Detroit Lions interesting, you know, or some of these other teams, Washington interesting, these teams that are putting up big numbers and do really creative things every week. You got to get the basics down. I mean, curl flat, you know, and there's certain overload principles against certain coverages that are just there that everybody runs. You have to execute them. They didn't complete one deep ball the whole game last week. Everything is either over the head or out of bounds. I mean, there's certain things you got to be able to do in this business right now. And it's the line's good enough right now. They're playing well enough. Tracy's been a spark. He's a pretty good player. But right now, the quarterback has to play better. There's no reason. That Cincinnati was this. They gave up 41 the week before to Baltimore. They couldn't stop anybody. Washington scored every single possession they had. You know, I just think right now, against Cincinnati, that is. Cincinnati's defense, I mean, they were the biggest surprises in that win the other day, is how well the defense played. Everybody in that defense looked at themselves going, hey, maybe we can turn this thing around.
Baldy, final thing here, real quick. Bigger issue, like the NFC East here. McCarthy and Sirianni, do you think both make it through the season?
Well, that was awful. That was two awful home games. You know, Philadelphia found a way to win it against a bad team. I don't know how long Mike can, but the roster isn't good in Dallas, and so I don't know. I'm sure what Mike can do with it. In Philadelphia, they got the receivers back. They've had a decent roster. The coach, though, just does. I mean, why would a coach ever get into it with the fan during the game? I've never seen that before. Like, what are you thinking about? I know you don't call plays, but what is a coach getting into it with the fan for, especially in Philly? I did that game on Sunday. I heard them booing, and they deserve to be booed. You know, I mean, they get a blocked, you know, field goal at the end of the half to tie it up at halftime. Like, and he's getting into it with fans? Like, what is that saying about your head coach?
Well, Sal thinks he's a doofus.
Yeah, he's a doofy clown that's been overmatched. The aberration to me, the shock, and it just shows you how much the talent won out, was that he actually took a team to a Super Bowl. I mean, I look at him, how can you take him seriously? Shaving his head, yelling at the fans. I mean, the team is, and maybe this will be a nail in the coffin if the Giants could beat them somehow at MetLife on Sunday. I mean, we'll see. Well, you think that's possible, Baldy? Giants get a win on Sunday?
It's possible because defensively, they're not a good team. And if the quarterback plays better, I mean, they don't have a great pass rush. They don't do a lot defensively. They got two rookies starting in the secondary like the Giants do. They beat them week 18 last year. They beat them badly last year. This is an NFC East. This is not the NFC East that we're used to seeing right now. So this is not Parcells and Gibbs and, you know, Buddy Ryan or Landry or whatever. This is different. So this is a winnable game for the Giants. It just is. Saquon's coming back. I'm sure he circled the game. He struggled last week. They couldn't run the ball against I'm sure that the Giants defense thinks that they can, you know, that they can put up a performance like they did last week, that they'll have a chance to win it.
Thank you, Baldy. We appreciate it.
Yep, my pleasure, guys.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
As the New York Jets trade for Davante Adams, we heard from the owner, Woody Johnson. We'll take a listen to what he had to say coming up in a few minutes. The great Joe Bedingo will join us at 4 o'clock, but we do need to have a very serious conversation. Last night, we did a wonderful show. It was a lot of fun at American Dream. We thank everybody for their hospitality. It was great meeting the fans and the people. What? Did you just say Evan?
Yes, I did.
What did I do?
Nothing.
I was talking to
I thought I did something wrong.
It just happened to be the same name that I was going to talk about.
Oh. Well, we had a great time at American Dream, and we wrapped up the show at about 6:45, going into Yankee pregame, and the Met game was still going on, so I hung around with a lot of great people. And these great people are mostly Mets and Jets fans.
Hmm.
And we had a great conversation about Positive Tommy, about how important he's really been to the renaissance of the New York Mets, to needing that positivity and how important it's been. And we all agreed on something. And it took a lot of humbling for me to get there.
Mm.
But I just want to first say, Positive Tommy, you're a main reason why the Mets are here, what they are, where they are, and I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I believe in Positive Tommy.
And so we need you now more than ever. Positive Tommy, we all agreed that you need to join and bring your positivity to a franchise that needs it more than anybody else. The New York Jets need Positive Tommy. We need tweets about Aaron Rodgers is a king. Garrett Wilson is a rock star. We need all of it. We need all the shtick. We need all the smoke. We need all the generational talent. And most of all, Tommy, we need you to lead us. So, Tommy, congratulations. The Positive Tommy Met train worked.
Don't do it.
But now you need to turn around the fan base that needs it more than anybody else. Positive Tommy, will you lead us?
Evan, what you're asking from Positive Tommy here is, in a lot of ways, sacrilegious. I mean, I am a Giant fan, and you're asking me to dump the Giants. Is that what you're asking
me? I never asked you to dump the Giants. The Giants are irrelevant to this conversation. Hmm. You can be a Giant fan. You can say what you want about Brian Daboll.
That's an interesting twist.
But we need you to lead the New York Jets, because right now, forget about our show. Sean's the troll. It's fine. Tiki doesn't hate the Jets, quote unquote.
I don't. I love Nate Hackett.
I'm just playing with you. So Tommy,
now that he's just the quarterback coach.
Tommy, not only for me, as a negative Jet fan, we need the positive Jet voice. This radio station needs you. We all need you. Jet fans
but
need
hold on.
You.
I get
Fireman Ed needs you.
I get it. Won't it feel manipulative?
The whole thing is manipulative.
If you know it's fake.
You don't think Positive Tommy with the Mets is kind of fake?
I just think
just a little bit.
Tommy would have to work really, really hard to fake it.
Tiki, hold on, Tommy. You'll get a
and
chance
Tommy's
to speak.
Tommy's not a faker.
Tiki, in the middle of June, he was faking it more than... I'm not going to follow up with that. He was faking it all.
I thought men can't fake it.
Oh, you can, trust me.
I faked that.
Sean, what? How much was Tommy faking it in a little bit mid-June?
Very much.
Okay, so
very
you know, much. Don't comment any further. You know he could fake it, right, Tommy? I mean, Sean?
I've spent enough time with him, yes, that I know he could fake
faking it. Faking it's not the issue. I love the man, so don't take any issue to this. He's one big fake. And that's
sometimes
okay.
You're just tired. You want to go to bed. It's like, how long do we have to be doing this for?
Isn't the saying fake it till you make it?
That's right. Oh. We need Positive Tommy helping the New York Jets cause. So with your permission, of course, Tiki and Sean, will you allow Positive Tommy share his positivity?
I'll gladly pimp him out to you Jet fans.
Thank you.
I just don't know if it'll be real.
It doesn't matter.
It'll be fake. And ultimately, it'll be unsatisfying for both sides.
I just need to see the tweets being pumped out like 10 times a week. Garrett Wilson is amazing. He's box office. We need all of it, Tommy. We're desperate. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
McDonald's breaks out the McRib once every 2 years, right? He could be the McRib to the Jets.
So you would approve of this, Sean?
There's nothing I'd like more than seeing the Positive Tommy bit get blown up, and there's no better team to blow it up than the New York Jets.
So, Tommy, we need you. This wasn't just me saying it. I think Kendrick and Suffren is on hold right now. He was a big part of the meetings as well. We need you. Lead us.
So, the origins of Positive Tommy were to reverse the negativity and toxicity that existed for decades.
Yes.
In the Mets fandom.
Yes!
Steve Cohen even brought this up.
Yes!
when they went to the NLCS. He said, I, this being Steve Cohen, am trying to reverse that. That's what Positive Tommy's been trying to do on social media and here on WFAN. And I think I've done a damn good job of that. Even yes. Evan is now bending the knee to Positive Tommy. So, Jet fans
yes!
in the tri-state area,
yes!
Evan Roberts, Joe Beningo, Fireman Ed, Jet fans, you've been suffering long enough. You will no longer suffer.
We have our leader!
You will no longer sit in silence. You will no longer have big brothers like Sean Marash, like Tiki Barber kicking dirt on you. Positive Tommy has joined the Jets. Jet fans, I will lead us.
Yes!
Aaron Rodgers is not washed. Devontae Adams is a Hall of Fame wide receiver. The Jets have the best defense in New York. And Jet fans, I wouldn't make any vacation plans in January. I wouldn't make any vacation plans in February because the Jets will be playing football.
That's my guy right there. Thank you, Tommy. This is what we need.
Do you feel so much better?
I feel like 10 times better.
Really?
I really do.
I think it's very important for Jet fans because of all the negativity that's existed for years.
How
and
much
you're
is
right.
he paying you? Seriously, how much is he paying you?
Well, he better be starting. This is the best. Haven't you seen what happened here?
What happened?
There's a chance that that last minute that we'll never get back from our lives actually leads to the Mets never winning another game again the rest of the year. And the Jets have canceled everything with Positive Tommy.
So Positive Tommy has the script for baseball. So I'm not worried about the Mets at all. I have the script. I've been right all along. I got to get the football script here. But Jet fans, I'm very confident that I will get that script. And I will not lead you astray.
Thank you, Tommy. We need this.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.